nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome to Nationwide Program on Radio Miraya. It's me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is our discussion time. And today we are focusing on the Greater Jonglei area. And that is because yesterday, a civil society organization organized a Jonglei and Boma youth dialogue on child abduction. And we would like to see what is the way forward from that. And they have discussed this again and again because the issue has been taking long. And thanks to some efforts by organizations and also by government, local government and also national government, and a lot of peace conferences, the situation has started to normalize. And also with tremendous efforts by the governor, the current governor of Boma State, David Yao Yao, who took upon himself the task, the heavy task of returning abducted children. And also thanks to efforts by local United Nations organizations and other partners who help in transporting these children and also reuniting them with their families. We have all those things happening. And so we had a renewed dialogue yesterday here organized by the Christian Agency for Peace and Development. And it brought together representatives from youth from both states, Jonglei and Boma. And with me in the studio are three of the participants who are spearheading or participating in this process. I have Peter Malir, Executive Director of the Christian Agency for Peace and Development. Welcome, Peter Malir, on Nationwide.
Thank you. Thank you, Shadar.
And I welcome also Majur Achol, a member of the Boer Youth Association. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel.
And I welcome David Ngiro, a member of the Greater Boma Youth Union. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's just start first. Why holding this dialogue in Juba here instead of holding it somewhere between Boer and Boma? Peter Malir, the Executive Director of the Christian Agency for Peace and Development.
Thank you very much, Shadar. I think that is a very important question. Why we have been able to organize this dialogue in Juba? We have realized as an organization through our youth dialogue program, community to community, ethnic community to ethnic community, we have realized that the power and the influence intellectual youth have within their communities. So we have been able to identify this strength, and we have been able to identify this power to influence and be able to change situations. So we have been able to focus to bring together the intellectual youth who will be able to also talk about issues that are happening at the grassroots and how they will be able to, you know, advocate and even influence national government and state governments to start taking, constitutional measures, being able to, you know, send out a clear message to international bodies and the national government on the issue, because, you know, this is happening every day, Emmanuel Shadar, Gabriel Shadar, and if we look back, we have this issue of child abduction and cattle rustling in Jonglei and Boma State for more than 100 years. So our focus is now shifting from, being able to look almost at the grassroots and to look at the intellectuals who are driving force at the moment, and who make a lot of decisions on behalf of the of people at the grassroots. So that's why we have decided to organize this dialogue here.
Yeah, it's now you have said you are taken the opportunity of speaking to intellectual youths who have really strong appeal to their communities back home. And so how did you manage to bring them together in Juba here?
Yeah, thank you very much, Gabriel. Actually, the issue of child abduction and cattle raiding is something that has gone on for years, and some of this generation that we are in are aware about the issue, and it's a shame it's embarrassing thing that all of them say that this issue need to be stopped. This issue needs to be brought to an end. And with that spirit, and being an organization who is championing peace process, engaging communities at the grassroots, village to village, and community to community, they felt that it is something that is worth. And of course, within their structures, they have also been having initiatives between both Boma and Jonglei State. So we were building on what has been going on. So this is something that we feel is paramount, and they also, both communities feel that abducting children, raiding cattle is not, it cannot be condoned, and it cannot be part of any society. This is actually terrorism. It's terrorizing society. So all of them feel that they want to distance themselves from this activity, and they want to think that such activities were done in the old Stone Age. They should not be practiced in the 21st century. The intellectuals are more informed. The intellectual feels that humanity matters.
Now, let us see how the other two representatives here welcome and look at this kind of dialogue. David Ngiro?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, what we are coming for, we discussed yesterday the issues related to child abduction and cattle raiding. This is what we are concerned, the youth leaders from both the state, Boma and Jonglei. And all this, it is well practiced by both sides, Boer community as well as Murli community, that they are abducting themselves, and which we as the youth, we do condemn it, and we say this thing should stop. That's why yesterday we came up at the intellectual youth to actually air our views at the youth, and we came up with one resolution that can able to minimize the criminal activity that is well practiced in Greater Jonglei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Major Ashol?
Thank you, Gabriel, for hosting us this evening in this forum. We have been in discussions with our colleagues from PIBOR, and we have had the same discussions earlier, before. And the main reason why we came back again was last year, in 2018, we have had a very good discussion. And those discussions, they had impact on us. There was fees in our area. And if you were to go to Jonglei or Boma State, you will see businessmen moving between two states, selling their cows and other goods. But as time goes on, human nature are unpredictable. So people got tired being held down by the authorities and the fist-loving people between the two states. Until December last year, 2019, there were attacks in Bor, in the area of Jale, in the area of Anyidi, in the area of Ajuong and Dukpadiet, where people were killed and children were taken and cows, head of cattle were taken. We felt if we are to keep quiet, maybe the situation will worsen between the two states. So we found it would be very necessary for us, the leaders, to come together, and we discussed, which we did yesterday. We iron out some of the issues, and we are ready for fees as two states, and particularly from Jonglei side. Since 2018 up to date, they have never been attacked on Murule. That shows the sign of peace. And they have tried their best until last year, December. That's when some criminals came to those areas that I have mentioned, and people were killed. So this has prompted us to come together. Instead of going into a necessary kind of intercommunal fighting, we saw it would not be necessary for our people, and therefore would be good for us to come together, and we discussed. And maybe after these discussions, our people will resume back to their normal life. And the business is continuing. And I do appreciate the two states governments, the Jonglei and Boma state government, they're doing what is necessary mm-hmm. for their people. And we feel as you leaders, we need to come together, and we discuss some of the issues, which we did, and we are here for peace.
Now, looking at the resumption or falling back and relapse into some sort of activities, if an activity has been taking place for tens of years and maybe hundreds of years, why do you believe that it can just stop in 1 year or 2 years efforts?
In my thinking, it cannot stop, but we shall have continuous engagement. Mm. And this is what we are doing, because after these violations which had happened last year, the best outcome that we can do is to come back and we continue negotiating then instead of going into conflict. So it cannot stop immediately, but our role as youth leaders is to continue with engagement, such that we reduce on the number of attacks or killing or children abduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we thought we could do, is to continue with engagement.
Yes.
for each other. Yeah,
David, what can be the role of the educated youth when we look into these issues, and what are some of the best ways you have recommended together with your other colleagues to address this issue practically, and also to address the violations and the root causes of the violations?
Yeah, actually what we are doing as the educated youth and intellectual youth as well, it is that what is actually practiced by our local youth, it is not that what we agree for. So we don't want our people to die the way they are dying, actually.
Mm.
So we need their life. It is important to us.
Yeah.
So, and what is happening, it is that the poor side, actually, they don't implement the peace among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find that one side implement and one side not implement. Sometimes you find other side implement the peace, other side they don't implement. So this is what actually making the community to fight among themselves. So this is that we had the intellectual view. We say no. So we need the both side to implement the peace, because when you go back to 2019, so it was that we found that the government of Buma State, actually, they have taken the lead and able to recover some children back mm-hmm. to the community of,
yeah.
of Bor.
Yeah.
So, and we, in which also we are still having our children back from Bor, and we are still demanding that those children should be brought back so that the peace should be revealed to both sides. Because when you brought the children from other side and that side they doesn't do, then it means that the more conflict will exist, because the other community, they will say that our children are still there and while you take this one, so we have to go and revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you can talk in the town in Juba here in the capital, and you can talk in Bor, you can talk in Bibor. But still, in the end, there are people who are not listening to this, who are not attending this. They don't have any means of knowing that you are even meeting, and they don't know what you are discussing. And then you yourself, how much power do you have to force people who are living very far? How much power do you convince somebody who is hungry, somebody who is poor, somebody who is looking to get cows for dowry, you know? And something to eat. How do you deal with that?
Actually, this is the challenge, because
the
now
the question will be for the three of you. Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So it is a challenge to us, because to reach someone who is actually in the remote area, it need access for you to reach that place, to go and convince them that what you are doing, it is not good. You better do business. But to reach them, it is a problem to us. Mm. So that is why you find that we have a talk in Juba, and think they are there is still continuous, because there is no more engagement between other intellectuals youth with our local youth. So we gave the recommendation back to the humanitarian agencies that who do help the people who need help, that to have access in order to take us to the grassroots level, whereby we can do awareness campaign on peace development mm-hmm. in the two states.
And the life of people there need to be increased, I mean improved.
Yeah, of course.
In way of giving them services that will give them other options. Let me hear from Major. Yes.
Thank you, Gabriel, for the question on how we can influence our youth on the ground. Particularly on our side in Bor, we have absolute influence over our people. Because in December 2016, there was an attack in Jale, where about 79 people were killed and about 12,000 cows were taken and number of children were taken. And with the use of Bor, we had requested the governor by then, that was Honorable Joseph Konye, we requested to make sure that he returns those cattle and the children, though the lives of 79 could not be recovered. And it took time and nothing was done, which prompted the Bor youth in February 2017 to go in search for their cows after the 79 people were killed. So that was the time when our people went. But later on in March, on 10th of March 2017, there was a National Freyers Day in the whole country, President Kiir gave an order that all these youth and the activities should come back, and we listened to the president. And since then, in 2017, we never gone back to Pibor to disturb the peace in the region, which is being enjoyed by our people there. So our youth, they listen to us, and that's why and all these negotiations that we have had all over the time, mm-hmm. they have never gone back to Pibor, and they never attacked, and we're surprised this time. And maybe our colleagues, that's where maybe the network challenges on their side, or maybe any other thing. They sometimes some of the criminals come and attack without their knowledge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But on our side, we have absolute influence over our people. We can control them, and they cannot disturb people in Pibor. Mm-hmm. And what prompted them was the December attack of 2016, where 79 people were killed. And since then, we did not go, and therefore I believe we can control our people.
Yeah. Yes. What's your input, Peter Malir?
As I said before, Gabriel Shadar, we have realized that young people have the power to influence, and the power to be agents of change. And what we have realized is that in both states, majority of the population there are young people. And what we also realize is that social media is doing a great impact in terms of what happens and what goes and comes. And we've realized a lot of conflict or these ethnic conflicts. Most of the time, you realize the intellectual youth have the voice to influence and incite and hate. And most of the time, once the young people are able to step their foot in, you realize that the problem is stirred up. I mean, you tend to see that they are quite of revenge attack. You see that in 2017, like what Majur say. Bor community mobilized themselves in numbers, and they went to attack Boma State because it was sort of something that young people who could walk, who could move, can be able to do. It was not old people who did it. So the reality is, like what Majuri is saying, is that if young people are influenced, and if they have influence, if they can be, made aware about the real challenges on the ground leading to child abduction and cattle raiding, then I think they have a greater impact to change and move their communities forward. Yes, of course, with the issues of with the other question you asked on how do you deal with a poor person, someone who is looking for cows to marry, someone who is looking for a cow to survive. Murule are not poor people. Dinkabora are not poor people, to be honest, and I think these two leaders can contest. In fact, they are the most richest people in this country. So what is there is that if youth leaders are able to accept that people who are terrorizing these communities are criminals, that all of them should be able to join hands together and deal with them, like a group of men in both sides are known to be doing such activities. Mm-hmm. And this is evidence, and it's a testimony from most of the youth leaders and even the state government. So I don't believe that these people are poor in both states. The other thing is, of course, the illiteracy and ignorance, and of course the access. This is one of the most challenge. One thing David Nero said is that reaching to these people is a problem. It needs resources. But then, the government cannot support us to be able to achieve such very important activities. International organizations are feeling that this is a 100-year thing, and we don't care. So you realized, mobilizing these influential young people and have them to have outreach, peace outreach visits to these, especially in this dry season, peace outreach visits to their communities and talk to their communities in their language, face to face, carry out such dialogues. And that's why CAPAT is focusing in making sure these dialogues are bringing trust and confidence and are bringing some closure, and being able to making sure that the intellectual youth acknowledge that people are suffering.
Yeah, of course, we don't have a means now of ascertaining what you are saying. You don't believe there are the communities are poor. Maybe you are looking at the general picture. But the truth is there are needs for young people there. And there is an imbalance of resources, even among the Boer community that is very rich with land, with cattle. And so there are youths who are at the bottom, who have nothing to share. And the civil war, the 21 years of war has created an imbalance where some people amassed a lot of cattle and the others who were born, they were born to nothing. You have a lot of illiteracy, as you are saying. A lot of people are out of school. A lot of people are jobless. They don't know what to do. Then that is itself like a time bomb. It can create a lot of bad attitude and all that kind of things. Burma is very rich, there is gold, there is what, but still, the infrastructure is very, very poor. People even don't have proper houses, proper services. There is no healthcare enough. There is no security service, police service, name it, no education. And it's one of the poorest areas in the country in terms of education. So that is all a time bomb. That now I'm thinking that you young people, you seem to be working in a vacuum. Because there is a party, which is the state, you are actually taking the role of a state to some degree. Right? And how can such a thing continue? Because there must be a point where the state, and I remember the efforts of David Yao Yao, is the first time that we have such kind of a governor who really goes and walks around, leaving out his office and comfort, stay there in the bush, in the mud, in whatever, in the rain, and then even his own bodyguards were shot while he was trying to collect. So that is the kind of effort that we need. Still, how do you feel now? You are talking that, how do you feel now you are doing this effort, but still there is a vacuum somewhere, Ashol, Majora Ashol.
Thank you. Nation building is a challenging thing. And it is a great task to everybody, the citizens and the governments. At some point, government has been engaged in other areas, and they did not look into these intercommunal issues as a national threat. But now the government has realized, and that's why you could see David Yao Yao doing what he could, and is continuing doing what he is doing now. The same with the Jonglei State Governor, Honorable Makir, is also doing his best. Now they have realized and they are cooperating with the citizens. And I believe from where we had started in 2018 to where we are now, in comparison with the previous years, it is very different. And why is it very different? Because the state's governments, they have realized their contribution in this. And that's why we have also involved ourselves as community leaders to support the rule, the states. Mm-hmm. And like what is happening now, the one of the roles that the governments on the two sides are playing, there's these law enforcing agencies that are now working seriously on the criminals that are confusing the two states, which has never been there before. But now it has come up,
yeah.
And we should continue now building on that. So this is what I can say. I think previously governments didn't see these intercommunal issues as national threats, mm-hmm. but of recent they have realized and they are now cooperating with us.
Yes, David?
Yeah, actually, what is that the government are doing, it is because they want to maintain the peace among the two communities. And that is why you find that the governor of Burma State is actually moving up and down. But the challenge is, you know, we have to do to convince someone. He has to say something that is happening also in the other side. So that's why you see our community are still, the local youth are still attacking border and time. Because what they expected to come, it has not been done it the way they want. Because the governor went and collected the children from them, and they told them that your women's, which have been abducted, and children in 2017, they are going to be returned back soon. So they waited it, and actually nothing happened. So that is why you find that we cannot able to control them, because if we told them that, please stop this, they always say that our children, they are in Jonglei, so we are looking for our children. So we told them that you wait, we will bring them. Mm. They waited, and they don't receive. Mm-hmm. So this is what happening actually. So and also the government of Jonglei State, mm-hmm. in order for them to do the way David Yao Yao did it, they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you find that the governor always promised that yes, he's going to look, but they don't go and look into the issue. So mm-hmm. they don't move into the villages whereby the children are there. So this is the challenge that we actually face in Boma State, in which we cannot able even to control our youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's hear from Majur before I come back to Peter.
This is a very interesting point from my co-operator, David. This issue of saying our children and women that have been abducted have not been brought, I've been disputing this even yesterday in our discussions, because sometimes you need to tell the truth. In 2017, after the 79 people were killed in December 2016, and over 12,000 head of cattle were taken and children. When the people of Bor went, they were hurt that they were coming to Pibor, and they all took all these vulnerable people, the children, the women, and the cows. They all taken beyond Pibor. By the time the youth of Bor came, there was nothing to be found until they came. Even he confirmed yesterday in our discussion that when you came, you found nothing. Honestly, that's true.
Yeah.
When our youth went, they found nothing. He's saying that we have taken the children which they expected to be brought. Honestly, you cannot bring what you didn't take. This is where the challenge is because we did not take any.
I don't know the time span he's talking about, but this might be over years, because he's
talking about 2017.
He's speaking about 3 years back, and maybe even before. And women, he's speaking about women more than children. You are speaking about children more than women.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those women, of course, somebody cannot invent it and say we have women whose names are not there and who can be. Now there is more work to be done, that somebody should come forward. I say I have these names here and there and there, and they were taken from this place in this attack, and then people go and verify. Maybe they have been killed or something like that, because people are fighting in the bush, or maybe they are there being hidden in very far place, they have been married off or something like that. So we need more work to be done on that, because denying it right away does not resolve his problem, and also keeps saying we have women there without verifying them does not help the problem. So you need a third party, which is the government or some party like South Sudan Red Cross or International Red Cross Committee. You say I have this, they are missing. Then they go and look for it. So you cannot go into the assume your enemy's territory and start looking for it. You will not get them.
Yeah,
so you need a third party.
Actually, the government did it. So they presented the number of the name of the women and the children which were taken in 2017. They presented them to the government.
Now the ball is in the court of the government to come back to you and tell you, I looked and I tried, and we couldn't find them, and then we see another way. You see?
It was agreed that even in 2019, the governor of Jonglei State paid the visits to Boma State and actually promised the community that I have confirmed 12 children from your side. So you just wait them in few days, they will be returned back to you. So that is why the community, they are still waiting up to now.
And
they are waiting for the 12 children to be brought back.
And I'm sure many people in Bor are listening to this, and they will respond.
Yeah, let them respond, actually.
They will respond.
Yeah.
And I'm happy you are saying that, and because this is another way of having that dialogue.
Maybe, can I say something?
David.
Can I say something? Thank you.
Major, I will be coming back to David.
Thank you. There is something that I just need to clear. You know, sometimes for peace to prevail in the communities, these two communities, is by stating facts that can enable us to trust each other. Like I've been saying, last year there were an attacks in those four locations, and I have not announced now because I have not sustained the facts about the children that were taken. Until we verify it, then I will say, you know, our colleagues, you are taking this number of children from this location. That will be much better. So I will not announce anything which has no basis. Though there were attacks, it was known in the countrywide. But I'm still working on the facts, evidences and justifications.
And I'm encouraging you, both of you also, even us media, it is risky to speak something vague about something big.
That's true.
Because you need to have the information, and then you say this and this has happened. But in a situation where an attack is taking place at night, I know this attack takes place at night or early in the morning. People just start running away, and you don't know what really happens, you see. We are not in the West, where people will be coming and search every place and know who has been wounded, where, who has died, where. and whatsoever. Your place is really a jungle sometimes. You even have animals roaming around. You don't know who was eaten by lions or whatever. You don't know. So who had run away and died in thirst, whatsoever. You don't know. So it's a fluid situation where we need really to ascertain what is happening. So let me get from your organizer, Peter Malir. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think what the two principals are talking about is one of the most challenging issue, and this is what has really confronted our discussions. And as Major said, of course, yesterday it became out very clear from the moderators and from everybody from both sides that it is important for us to discourage just mentioning any number. It is important that both sides will be able to even to come up with figure that is approved and that is verified, and it is part of our resolutions yesterday that Honorable Major from Bor had yesterday said that in fact if there are such allegations that there are children in Bor, he's going to consult with the authorities in Bor, and he's going to make sure that he's going to come back with data, with official information. And of course definitely with my brother Ngiro, he also is also on the mission to making sure that he's going to carry out some verification on a number of activities like the recent attack that happens in the four locations that Major mentioned, and cows were taken. Actually, Christian Agency for Peace and Development condemned it, wrote a press release and condemned it.
Yeah.
And Mr. David promised that he's going to do verification on what cow was taken, what child was taken. So with this issue, thank you for echoing the issue of having facts on the table. Because if we have to negotiate and build peace, we do not have to talk on assumptions. And I think this is one very important avenue where David and Michael Major is going to focus to making sure that they have data. That they are going to work on to making sure that they are bringing this issue of assumptions.
Let me have a few callers on to give quick comments before I come to you with concluding remarks. And of course, what we are stressing here is the need for collaboration between both of you to resolve, because there is no other way. The need for more dialogue, more understanding, and also the need for a third party to come in, which is the government, to do more. The area needs policing, they need security personnel, they need army, they need services for those young people so that schools are open, skills, vocational training is offered and all that, so that they think of other things rather than just going the easy way and take somebody's cow and sell it somewhere else and get easy money. So that is not the way. Even we had an attack on a humanitarian convoy. What did they want with that? You see? We had it. What did they want with that food? They wanted to eat. Okay, so if we don't address the urge and the need for those things, still we are going to have problems. And it's not because people hate one another. It's because there are needs some people are trying to meet. Let me have this caller online. Hello? Hello? The caller there, and you can call on 09-1206-2950 and also 09-1206-2079, and I will be picking your calls. Hello?
Kapil Joseph Shada.
Yes, welcome. Agail, welcome.
Yes, Agail Mabog, yes. I welcome our guest in this, Kapil Joseph Shada. You see, these issues of cutting and issues of also attacking, people attack themselves, issues to do with cows also being raided and taken somewhere to be exchanged like manna. Mm-hmm. These things are not coming to an end, especially in those areas where cattle are kept. Mm-hmm. So my question to our guests in the studio is, what plans do they have in place to make sure that these things come to an end?
Okay.
Sometimes you find cattle being raided and not returned to their rightful owners.
Okay.
This is the first question. The second question is the issue of also guns in the hands of civilians, in the hands of these cattle keepers who call themselves Gilwin. What plans do they also have to make sure that they collaborate with the government, the national government in Juba?
The line is getting back really very bad. And let me take another caller. Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, welcome. Who is calling?
Ayuel is from Bo.
Ayuel, welcome. Mm. Welcome.
Yeah, my question is, sometimes the criminal from Burma keep moving all the time, but we don't go there always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the government in Burma there does not stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And the criminal keep going on, and the government is in Bibor. Does that mean now the government report tells them, the criminal, you do what you like, and I will pretend in here and say, I don't know them, I cannot control them. Mm. How can you not control people whom you rule?
Okay.
How can you be called the ruler?
Okay. Thanks for your question there. Are you all from Bor? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Mm. Good afternoon, good evening.
This is Gabriel. Welcome.
You are speaking with Nena Jenyo Krongkoy.
Come again?
You are speaking? Yeah.
Come again? Man? We have lost the caller online there. Hello?
Gabriel Joseph Jadar.
Yes, welcome.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yeah, you are online with Jenga Jenyo from University of Baragzad.
Welcome again.
Okay, thank you very much. I welcome the guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my question is goes like this.
Mm.
Okay, how can we control those cattle raiders? Because most of them, they have guns.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, they are Syria at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go with your cow in the forest, you will get a soldier in the bush, and he will shoot you, and he say, unknown gunman. When will he be stopped?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your question there, and I'm left with like 7 minutes. I will be sharing it with you. And, of course, it's really encouraging to see people having dialogues. That is something very, very positive we have to encourage here. And from now on, what are you going to do after people have dispersed? They are intellectuals. What remains ahead of you now? Let me start with Major Achol, and then I will come to David Nyiro, and then I will come to Peter Malir. Each one of you can have maximum 2 minutes.
Thank you, Gabriel Joseph Chadar. To respond to the questions of our listeners, there's one who said most of the youth, they have guns, okay? And how do we bring into control this?
Mm.
And this intercommunal fighting, how do we also bring it to an end? That the last one was the same like the first one, was also concerned the same point.
Mm.
The issue of how this intercommunal violence can be brought to an end, in my own suggestion, any long-lasting solution cannot be sustained in the short term or using the short-term objectives. My personal opinion to all South Sudanese and Burma State and Jonglei State in particular is that if we are to invest in education now as two states, in the next 10 or 20 years to come, most who would be potential criminals would be civilized like us who are now in town. So the long-lasting solution to bring this intercommunal violence to an end is by investing in education. Most of our people should, our children should be taken to school, and that should be our priority in these states where intercommunal violence are the most affecting economies in those particular states. So that's what I would suggest. In the issue of the guns in the hand of the youth, my personal opinion is that this cannot be controlled without the intervention from the government. and particularly from the national government. And if, in my own opinion, that if the current guns that our people have, it is, and they are very difficult for the government to recover. What I would suggest, like there is this AK-47, we can also ship to another kind of ammunition, and we control the bullets that cannot be accessed now by the youth. By the time the bullets they have now get finished, it will be very difficult to get another bullets, because there's only a monopoly of supply of bullets is the government.
Okay.
And this, if the government continue bring the bringing the same bullets now, the youth will continue buying using any channel. Okay,
yeah.
And that will not bring to an end the issue of guns. But the government can change to another kind of ammunition,
yeah,
which has a different kind of bullets, which cannot easily be accessed by our youth. That's the only way. This is what I'm thinking.
And stop otherwise, it from being leaked.
Yeah, and otherwise you. The youth will continue doing
thank
that.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
David, yes?
Actually, I first just want to answer the question from AUL, from Bor, who said that
the government might be pretending.
The criminals actually move all over Bor, and the government of Buma State, they don't control this kind of movement, and they have always denying that they don't know how, they have no way to control them. This is what I've actually stated before, that, you know, to control someone before he receive what he want, it is very difficult, because when you lose something and you want to go and search for that, and you tell someone that, no, don't go and search that phone of yours that you have lost, then you have to give that you have this, let that phone go. So, but to stop someone like that is very difficult. That is why they're in search. When you ask them, they say that they're in search of their children that have been taken, so because they have not been recovered. But so this is what happening. But the government are actually trying their best in order for them to control these people. That is why you find that the more attacks, the number of attackers, they are not like before. So you find that maybe two or three that are the one disturbing people. But actually, these are, we call them criminals. So these are not actually all of Buma State that are attacked Jungle State. So this is what happening. So in Ajing, who said actually, how can we control? Because the both side, they have guns. Actually, what Majur said, that if the government, they can control this, then it means that they can able to minimize the crime. So actually, this is what happening. Because the gun that the government have, it is the same the gun that the youth are using in the village. So the issue of bullets, it is not because there is no company which used to sell the bullets to the civilians, but the same the government they use again to benefit on the civilian, and the civilian turn these bullets against themselves. This is actually very, very challenge that the government need to take this. If they cannot able to control to collect the guns, then they have to change the system in order for them to have the control way of controlling the bullets. So this is what happening, and we can say that we actually condemn this kind of activities that they used to have the business on the bullets. So this is not actually encouraging.
Thank you. Very strong point there. 1 minute for Peter Malir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Of course, the issues raised by my colleague are relevant. And if the government will double its efforts to be able to prioritize the state peace, you know what makes up South Sudan is number of states. You know, today you are talking about 10 states, 32 states, 21 states. You know, it has become a real issue. That means these states are the heartbeats of this country. So the government should be able to prioritize the lifeline of this country. I mean, in some particular state, which, of course, child abduction and cattle raiding is happening. So being able to have such suggestions, my brothers are saying, is an ideal. One thing that I can also suggest is that if both government and partners will be able to join hands together and start, you know, advocating and create awareness. Gabriel, what I also want to bring into your attention is that the minds of our people has continued for years, for 100 years, doing what they have been doing without any intervention. And something that you do today, tomorrow, next tomorrow, become part of you. Even if you have millions of bags of maize in your house, you will still go and raid cattle. Mm-hmm. You will still go and abduct
it's
children.
It's become a habit.
So we need to change the mindsets of our people. Yeah. We need to take out awareness. We need to tell our people, stop it. It is time for peace. Allow our people to stay in peace. Let them enjoy your property, their property.
Thank you very much, Peter Malir, Executive Director of the Christian Agency for Peace and Development, Majura Chol, Member of the Poor Youth Association, David Ngiro, Member of the Greater Bomo Youth Union. Thank you very much. And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar, on Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. And see you again.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.